Welcome to Rural Minnesota Radio, a collaboration between the Center for Rural Policy and Development and Minnesota State University, Mankato. I'm Jim Gullickson, and with me again is Marnie Werner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Today we're going to talk about trains.
Trains, yeah. This weekend I was visiting the folks, and I got a chance to take the North Star train down to Minneapolis for the first time, and that was a lot of fun. People were lined up and learning how to use the ticket.
Okay.
The ticket spitter outer thing.
How's that thing work? Pretty good?
Really easy.
Okay.
Yeah. Punch some screens and stuff. And you know what was just so amazing to me was how many people were on that train just for the ride, just because they wanted to ride a train.
I personally fully believe in the idea of, you know, that sort of transportation, mm-hmm. particularly from, you know, sort of hubs outside of the Twin Cities mm-hmm. metro area where you have a lot of commuter traffic anyway.
It's efficient for moving a lot of people. Gets people off the highway. Now they're talking seriously about running a train from Minneapolis up to Duluth again. They even have it named and everything.
Wow.
And, you know, with the, especially the last couple of years with the spiking gas prices, the idea of using trains for freight, especially in rural Minnesota, is really taking on a new life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually becoming feasible again. Now, there are a lot of big companies that control most of the train tracks in the state, but there are actually a lot of small train companies too, and a little more than average. You know, Minnesota actually has more train companies than the average state, and so these train companies are really looking seriously at, you know, moving shipment. We have iron ore up north, we have all the ag products in the rest of the state, and the biofuels. Moving those around has really become a big boon for the independent train companies, too.
Right.
There's a few problems associated with it, though. There's this movement towards making bigger, longer trains because it's more efficient. It
okay.
lowers the cost. You can put, you know, those great big containers you see going
right.
by on the trains.
And that requires beefing up the track system,
exactly,
then, right?
So the train rails. Raising the bridges and things like that. And that's all stuff that small train companies can't
No.
necessarily afford.
So we're talking federal dollars probably
for that
sort of thing. No,
actually the state has a program
really?
That is helping the smaller train companies with this kind of thing. The other issue is that for farmers to actually move their grain to get on the train to be able to take advantage of these lower prices, there's only a limited number of elevators that can actually handle these big, long 125-car trains. And
right.
so the farmers have to drive farther to get their grain to these trains. But, yeah, the state has been working on this issue, and the train companies are very interested in making this work.
If the freight rail companies are successful in, you know, sort of redeveloping or reinventing the whole, you know, rail system for freight, is that an entree then for the passenger rail to become a reality for some of these hub communities scattered around the state? There's a lot of commuter traffic on, mm-hmm. on the highways that could perhaps be avoided.
It's all about being cost effective, but if you can get people interested, and I think people are getting more and more interested in the idea of not having to drive in the winter.
Sure.
And it's getting more and more feasible.
Well, it's a fascinating topic, rail in Minnesota and how it's kind of coming back. This has been Rural Minnesota Radio, and we will catch you next week.